Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
On today's episode, we're discussing this idea that what happens in your house has to stay in your house. It's like Vegas. So we definitely have a good episode in store for you today. But if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and give this video a thumbs up. All right, so let's just get right into it. Have you heard of this phrase? I'm assuming you have, but if you have, then what context have you heard it in?
The most common context I've heard it in is, I think it comes to families. Adults telling their kids, don't be running and telling everyone our business. You know how kids are when they start school and they start talking.
Sure,
my mommy made my dad sleep on the couch last night. No context, nothing, just random facts about what's going on in their house. Or, oh, I didn't even eat last night. Oh, you didn't eat your vegetables? So yeah, just, you know, parents telling their kids, okay, you don't have to repeat every little thing that happens at home. And then I think within marriage too, just respecting the boundaries of what's going on within the marriage and not letting people know every little thing. But then I also think about in a professional setting where in my past, I can remember when I used to work in client services. As with all businesses, you want to present yourself in the best light, definitely to your clients and your customers. And there was just this energy of, we have to look like we have it all together, even if we don't. And I remember there was a client at that time when I was putting in my notice, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be leaving. And he says to me, he's like, yeah, it's a hot mess over there, isn't it? And I was like, he was like, yeah, you know, y'all think that we don't really know what's going on. You think you're hiding it. And I wish, he's referring to my manager, my manager's manager, would just be more open about the struggles that you're having instead of trying to pretend like you have it all together. Like, yeah, we know what's going on. So even in the professional setting where, you know, at a company, they always encourage you to like, oh, be buttoned up, have it all together. But sometimes I think it could work in your favor just by admitting areas where that aren't going as well or that you're struggling. But yeah, I've seen it in different areas.
Yeah, I think the most common ones that I've seen have also been childhood and marriage. Childhood, the same thing that you said, where kids are just free and open and want to share everything. And it's a really cute stage, but also like, okay, where does this stop? And then marriages, where they say, okay, well, don't tell everybody what's going on with your spouse. I've seen like on movies, it was one of the Madea plays maybe, where they were saying like, after you forgive your partner, then the family members are still upset with them because you went and told. And so like creating this culture of, hey, watch what you say outside of this household.
That, and plus I think it can make outsiders, even if they are family, they're not within the marriage, much more comfortable about commenting and giving their opinions on what's happening. If you're running to tell them the information, they may think, oh, well, you let me in or you opened the door, so I'm going to walk through.
Right. It's my place to advise you or to whatever, comment on what this person's saying or doing.
Yeah. And yeah, they always have a hard time, even within friendships, because it's natural to be biased, I think.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Because like, if you ran and tell me something, I'd be like, oh, I tried my hardest to be not biased, but you're my friend. So of course I'm going to see it more from your perspective. And people usually just tell things from their lens and leave out the other side.
The other side,
So what are some cons to this? We talked about where we've seen it, but why would you think this whole notion of keep it in the house, don't be running and telling your business, why would this be a problem?
So for me, I think like abusive situations, that's the biggest, I think, space where this could be a huge problem. So it's one thing if it's a child who, you know, is just sharing information all willy-nilly, you know, minor things like, this person stepped on the couch or I didn't eat or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, hold on. Because if they didn't eat for a concerning reason, then yeah, that's something to look into. But stuff like I didn't eat my vegetables or whatever. I think abusive situations, like you hear about the horror stories of adults touching younger kids inappropriately and them feeling the burden of silence, you know, where mm-hmm. they can't go and share, hey, this person did this to me, because they fear like, oh, if I take this out of the house, then I get reprimanded by people within the house. So I think that's a huge, huge con of this type of rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And then also within marriages, like if it's an abusive situation, like if someone is abusing you in any way, I'm gonna need you to tell. And that's like verbally or physically abusing mm-hmm. you. So yeah, that's the biggest con that I see about this type of rhetoric. How about you?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that, when I've seen an abusive situation mm-hmm. where both parties, but mainly the person on the receiving end of the abuse, is not being vocal or letting people know, I think over time they just start to question, is it really that bad?
Yeah.
Because if you're not letting other people know, like for us, it sounds crazy. We're on the outside and we want you to be safe and okay. But if you're in something and the other person is actively working on making you feel comfortable with it, you, by you not telling other people, you may get to a point where you may not realize like how bad it is. You're like, oh, well, they just called me out of my name. They didn't hit me.
Girl, there was this YouTuber who came out recently. There are actually two YouTubers. Hopefully I'll remember the second story by the time I finish the first. But the first one was saying like, oh, you know, my ex-spouse never hit me. Like he roughed me up a little bit. And I was like, hold on, because that too is an issue. You know, like, why is he roughing you up? So you're not one of his little homeboys. It's not a boxing match. Why are you being roughed up, you know? And so just that normalization of this type of behavior, because, you know, the culture of silence. And then the other YouTuber was sharing a story about her past. So she was in a situation and a friend came over and witnessed how her partner was treating her. And the friend who had a history of like, you know, domestic abuse, mm-hmm. you know, she started crying. Like just by watching mm-hmm. how her friend was being treated by the partner, she started crying. And the YouTuber was saying that was her wake up moment where she realized, oh, I've normalized this type of behavior so much. Mm-hmm. And made it okay that I didn't even realize how bad it was until someone who has a similar background. Because I think she was like, oh, I know what this girl has been through. And she wasn't seeing them as on the same level, you know? Yeah. So those are the two. I don't even remember how we got there, but I think we're talking about normalization of this type of culture of silence.
Yeah. I also was thinking of another smaller influencer mm-hmm. along the same lines where this situation, I would say it was verbally abusive, but it was with her mom. And just this dynamic within their family of her being silenced because it was her mother mm-hmm. and her having this tension and just toxic relationship. She actually ended up airing out her mom by releasing audio of different altercations that have gone down where extended family members were encouraging her to, I guess, not air it out, or it's your mom, and think about what this is going to do about her reputation. Mm-hmm. And for many years, she said she just held it in. You know, a lot of people didn't know that her mom had this type of dynamic, but finally she said she wanted to put it out there because she wanted to be freed. So I think a con is that when you're in a situation where, you know, you're not able to openly talk about what's going on. One, I think it can start to distort your reality, like you said, but also just weigh on your mental health, because you maybe start rationalizing certain things that are being done, or you're just being gaslit into think by other people about keeping silent on certain things that they would deem as like not as big of a deal.
Speaking of airing parents out, I don't know if you saw recently, Kimora Lee Simmons and her daughter spoke out against Russell Simmons and how he's been behaving irrationally, verbally abusing them, trying to block certain opportunities from coming to them, and just acting strangely and aggressively towards them. And so when the daughter specifically came out, because I think she did a post and left it up on her page, I don't know if her mom did the same. I think her mom maybe just did a live and didn't keep it. I'm not too sure. But she left it up on her Instagram page, where she was talking about, hey, these are the things that my dad is doing. And all through the comments, I saw people saying stuff like, oh, that shouldn't have made it to the internet. Keep it private, you know, keep it in the family, keep it off the internet, whatever. And so I wanted to just get your thoughts about that whole situation, and also the internet being used as a tool to name and call out bad behaviors.
Yeah. With that situation, it seemed like none of them, the women, the mom, and the two sisters, were actively looking to bring it to the internet until he responded to the original post, which I think as a parent, he probably shouldn't have done that. I mean, they're all adults, but he's an even older adult.
Yeah,
I would think that, like that would be a conversation where you'd reach out one-on-one with your daughter about the post that she made. Because she didn't even, in the initial post, she didn't even say his name or anything. Yeah. And it was the older daughter. I think her name is Ming Lee.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, he was responding to the initial post. And so with that, it seems like they just reached a boiling point where they've just been dealing with a lot behind the scenes on top of him maybe trying to present their relationship in a certain light in the public. And that motivated them to kind of dispel some of that, because it seems like he was trying to spin a certain narrative that they didn't agree with in terms of what their relationship is.
Yes.
And so as far as them bringing it to the public, I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
I mean, only because I think if you as a parent are on the internet maybe bragging about, oh, this is what my child does or what a relationship is, if you're not going to present it in an honest way where everyone is on the same page, then you open yourself up for a rebuttal.
Yeah, and I think it's
not true.
It's the thing of, they had been protecting him and his image for so long. Like a few years ago, I think Oprah wanted to do a documentary on women who have come out with allegations against him. And the younger daughter was like both of the daughters were like, how dare you, you know?
Yeah.
And so now that things have kind of changed and maybe they're seeing him for who he really is, I think they've maybe been protecting his image for so long, and they have been keeping it in the house for so long that, like you said, they reached a boiling point. And the thing
is, it's like, exhausting.
Yeah, you can't expect to like mistreat people and then expect them to protect you still. I think that's an unfair expectation of people. Like, they're just supposed to accept how you're treating them and not say anything, not have an outlet, not try to get any type of support. And I think when it came out to the internet, they said something about him trying to like block the younger daughter's modeling career. So he was saying things to her like, I'm going to make sure you don't work, or I'm going to make sure you don't this or that. And so it's like, at this point, you are threatening to take it outside of the household. So you're threatening to take the abuse outside of the household in such a way that it affects my livelihood. And so how do you expect me to not retaliate? And I hate to use the word retaliate because, like you said, we didn't get the sense that anybody wanted to come out. It felt like their hands were forced.
Yeah, and I also think at a certain point that the more you protect a person who's behaving in the way that he was, if you listen to some of the audio clips, I think you become a bit complicit in their behavior as it bubbles over into other areas, because I don't think most people are able to compartmentalize the way that they're handling certain situations to certain people. And maybe I'm reaching here, but the way that he's handling the conflict with his daughters and treating them is probably how it may be handled with other people. They may know, they may don't know, but because of his power, his name, the whole idea of keeping it on the hush hush, the way he's just so open to feel so free to threaten her career and all of that, he may be doing that in other areas. And so by protecting his image, you may be setting other people within his orbit up for a similar treatment just by you remaining silent.
Yeah, you're enabling that behavior. You're definitely enabling that behavior. Yeah, it really is sad to see, because I feel like parents especially have a certain responsibility that should be carried out throughout adulthood. Like, we had two episodes ago, Mrs. Hughes on here just talking about that transition from young children to adult children, and how you have to really create that space where they want to come and offer up information to you. But if you're constantly berating them like he was, how can you really expect that they're going to want to come to you for advice, or not even for advice, just hang around, you know, hang around you? And what they're going to do is avoid you because they know, oh, I can expect to be berated in this way or that way or whatever. So, yeah.
And I also think too, when people start to air out certain situations that are going on, I think sometimes people underestimate the amount of courage that it may take to air that out, because it doesn't necessarily maybe paint you in the best light. Even if you haven't done anything, you're still a part of the situation. And then you also open yourself up for criticism, because a lot of times people will say, well, what did you do? Especially when it involves a parent, especially if it's a mother.
and why did you stay so long? Like, why didn't you say something earlier? And why didn't you? So when you said that, I automatically thought about the husband-wife dynamic, because that is a huge, like, if you're someone who's famous and you speak out and say, this person did this to me, oh, are you sure they did that? Or if they've been doing it that long, then why were you pretending along with them? Why were you this? Why were you that? So yeah, it really does open you up for criticism.
Yeah. And it allows for the other person to kind of control the narrative. So up until this point, we only kind of heard what he, or saw what he presented, even them. But thinking back to the mother-daughter situation that I mentioned earlier, where the daughter was, had always taken this approach of being respectful and, okay, my mom does these things, but I'm not going to air her out. But the flip side is that the mom had been kind of controlling the narrative about what was going on. So all these other people had these opinions of their relationship and her as a mother, not really having the full context of what's going on. And in her situation, that meant her airing her mom out, which I think is a bit extreme, but that's what she felt like she needed to do. But I think it maybe sometimes can create a bit of balance to what's going on. Like, okay, well, this is what you've seen, this is what I've had to say, and then the other person can feel free to air what they feel like they need to.
Like, when you feel like you are powerless in a situation, you feel a need to reclaim some type of a power and find your voice and say, no, this is a misrepresentation of me, and now I want to give you guys what is actually happening and how I actually am responding to this situation. So I get that.
Yeah. And in Aoki's case, she had receipts.
It's a sad situation, but I don't know. I don't want to speak on it because it's not. All we have is what they've given us, but I do think it's a sad situation because those are young girls. So I think they're in their early 20s. And so I can only imagine how this is rocking their world. You know, like this parent that you've known so long, now that you're an adult and you have a different pair of eyes, and you're seeing them for maybe some of the more negative parts, and they're not trying to make any improvements, you know? How old is he? Like maybe in his 60s, so set in his ways, and that's very unfortunate because he's going to lose his relationship with his daughters if he hasn't already.
Yeah, very unfortunate. So, is there any context where you feel like there's some validity to what happens in the house stays in the house? Is there, I guess, an upside or positive side that will come out of this saying under the right non-abusive circumstances?
I think maybe trying to teach children or anybody privacy. So this idea of, hey, it's okay to not share everything with everybody. I think that's something that is a valuable lesson, especially in our day and time. I don't know that using that phrase is the best way of doing it, but there has to be a way of teaching, hey, you don't have to share every single thing. There are some things that are better kept to yourself because people might respond in a certain way or might use that against you or whatever. I don't think like a 7-year-old needs to hear all of that, but definitely there has to be like an age-appropriate conversation for each stage of the child's life, just so they know, just so they're aware of the dangers. And that kind of sucks because you want children to just be free and not worry about who might take information and do something with them, like even up to teenagers, but it's the reality. And I think the sooner they learn it, the better.
Yeah, I think you're right. You say children and teenagers, I even think of adults too, and just enforcing boundaries of what's appropriate, what's not. And I think it applies in many different situations where if you just don't, I guess if you have the rapport there in the type of friendship and relationship, maybe, but even in the workplace, I'm sure academia, like it's okay to hold some things close to the heart. Like you don't have to be so open. I think we talked about that on an episode before. Yeah. I
I
forget how
forget
we
the name, but
phrased
hopefully we'll include it in the for our YouTube people. I don't think it's one of the episodes we put on
Oh,
YouTube,
yeah.
but it was in our early days where we're talking about what you share on the internet, what's appropriate to share on the internet and what isn't. And of course that is subjective, you know, but
Yeah.
just some things that have been helpful to us dealing with the internet age. But yeah,
Yeah.
how about you? Are there any situations where you feel like, okay, maybe we should tell people to chill out on what they are saying or what they're putting out there? I use childhood, but there are some other examples.
Yeah. I would say any situation where emotions are high. Only because you don't want to run off of emotions on a situation or something that's happened. And when you cool down, you might feel differently. But now you've already put out that side or your side. And that's the side that people have heard. And the other person involved isn't there to share their piece. So yeah, maybe if you aren't willing to lay out the whole thing. You're not willing to lay it all out, then maybe let it be. I don't know.
Yeah. How do you think, just because we mentioned that we did an entire episode on sharing on the internet, but how do you think the internet plays a role in this conversation, like with oversharing? So I've seen instances where there might be an argument between spouses and now we're all in it. Like we all know everything that's going on and it's very awkward, but that information is just out there for everyone to comment. So, how do you think the internet plays a role or doesn't play a role in this?
I think people are just getting way more open. Like sometimes I look at some of the couple or family influencers, and if you go live and just certain things go on, it's out there. So I don't know. I'm a pretty private person, so I'm biased in that I just don't think much should be shared on the internet about people's personal lives. I'm very much of the mindset of I want to open up and share with people in my real life, not internet life. Now, if you follow me and you know me in real life, like, that's fine.
But yeah,
that's where I'd rather focus my energy and not just for everyone and anyone to be able to see all the nitty gritty details, especially when it comes to things like marriage, I think your children, because people, once you put yourself out there, people feel free to comment on everything. And I will say it can get, I don't know if frustrating is the right word, but when people get upset, when people have a lot of commentary on their home and their family life and dynamics and, you know, like say a couple breaks up, people will go in the comments and say, oh, girl, yeah, we've been seeing the way he ain't really been looking interested in you, the marriage or whatever. It's like all of a sudden these people are experts based off of all the footage you've been showing them.
Yeah.
You know, for however long. So
that's so funny. I know exactly who you refer to about that. Oh, we could tell that he wasn't that into you. Because I remember we talked about it, like, why are people so bold to be in someone's comments where they're sharing a very tough moment in their life just to be transparent, and maybe so people don't feel like they are alone. They're sharing this part of their life and people are like in the comments just sounding off.
But you know what? There's another, I'm thinking of another one or two situations where they didn't share anything specific. They were just vlogging and then they ended up not working out. And people were like, oh yeah, we could just tell he never really seemed interested in being there, or
whole time he's an introvert and he doesn't want the camera in his face. Like, oh,
and I guess you just open yourself up to that level of criticism when you decide to put so much out there. It's just not for me. I'm nothing against the people who do it. And I know y'all are probably thinking like, wow, y'all are definitely on the internet right now sharing your thoughts and ideas. But to me, it's different than me vlogging my everyday life.
Yeah. But okay, so I'm of the same mind as you, but I do want to add that I think it might be easier for us to have this opinion because we have really good communities in real life. And so I think people who don't have communities that they trust, or communities that they feel like they can lean on, they might feel a need to go on the internet and make those connections there. Because because that's what the internet is like. We make connections with people all the time. I know I've met a friend or two there, and I'm sure you have as well, just, you know, by being on there and being, you know, showing parts of ourselves. I think it is easier to say for those of us who have communities. I think there are some people who yearn for a solid community, and they might not have that in real life. So the connections that they've made online serve as the places that serve as the people who they can go and vent to.
True. And I have seen people's communities show up for them in big ways.
Yes.
Like if they're going through something or they need support on something, I have seen the positives of that by having that community. Yeah.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying though, because there's this person who I follow who shares like her journey of motherhood, like what she might feed her child, what things they're not allowing their child to do until a certain age. And almost all the time, there are people who are like, oh, well, don't do this, or, you know, you don't want to do that, or wait till you experience this. And it's like, she's putting this out there, I think, one, because she's enjoying this time in her life, but also to share things for people who might be interested and don't know. And here come people who are like, oh, this is wrong, or this is right, or this is better, or whatever. So it is kind of a catch-22. Like, you have community on there, but then it can backfire on you at times.
Yeah, and just be exhausting. Like, there's this influencer I watched. She just shared that she has fibroids and she is kind of weighing her options as far as treating them. And she proactively told her audience, hold the comments. I don't need to know what your mama, sister, cousin did to shrink hers, or, oh, you chose to have the surgery, or you did this. Like, I'm letting you all know this so you know why I may not be as active on YouTube dealing with my health. But just kind of pump your brakes. And sure enough, there were still people in the comments. They just couldn't help it.
This is a natural cure. Don't go and do that surgery. I drink this lemon juice for 10 hours straight. And this is how.
But I will say, had she not proactively said something, the comments would have been way more.
Even worse. Yes, absolutely. But the fact that she said it, sometimes people will be like, well, you asked us not to say anything, so I'll just send my thoughts and prayers. And it's like, okay, you didn't even have to say that. Any final thoughts on this idea of what happens in your house has to stay in your house?
My final thoughts are, unless it's in regards to your marriage and those intimate details of things that may be going on and obviously like abusive behavior, I would say we should share more.
Yeah.
Even if it's within your own personal community, your own friendship groups, because you never know how that information can help other people.
Mm-hmm.
As well as just exposing some of the extreme behavior sometimes of people that have been able to fly under the radar. And I'm thinking of a situation kind of close to home where I'm grateful that they were as open about what happened. Unfortunately, it involved a divorce, but it was some serious allegations that were going on. And I'm glad that they were open about it because I think it'll protect people going forward, like them just knowing the severity of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think, unfortunately, sometimes people, when they're doing bad and it's extreme, it goes unseen. So
yeah, and there is pressure on those who are in the public eye to kind of be the mouthpiece for everybody. So I think I would say use discretion.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand. Use discretion and try to get you a good community, because not everything necessarily needs to be out, but you do still need like an outlet of solid people who can point to behaviors that aren't really, that are a little bit off, you know, even just a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be the most extreme situation, or it might just be, but you need people who care enough to be able to flag those behaviors and say, hey, this is something that you need to watch out for. I think I don't know if I overshare with my closest people, but sometimes I feel like I do. And it's mostly to help keep me in check, like make sure I'm not tripping, make sure I'm not missing things, just to get, you know, good feedback on it. So yeah, use discretion and get you a good community so that you have people looking out for you,
mm-hmm.
your best interest. So that is what I will say. All right, so we are going to go ahead and move into our last segment of the episode. We're going to do a girlfriend check-in, and that's where we pull a question from the internet or a conversation starter game and just have a little discussion about it. So today's question, and if you are watching this on YouTube, make sure that you comment. If you're listening to it, go to our YouTube and comment or hit us up on Instagram, either way. But today's question is, what would your younger self not believe about your life today?
My younger self wouldn't believe that I'm a mom.
Mm-hmm. I knew you would say that.
Yeah, it's not shocking anymore, but as a child, teenager, young adult, mm-hmm. I never envisioned motherhood. I never thought about, oh, I'm going to be a mom or I'm going to have kids.
Yeah.
I just never thought about that. And I know it may sound crazy or weird because I'm a woman. It's not because I was ever like, oh, that could never happen or I don't want it completely. I just never maybe fantasized about that season of life or even thought about what my life would look like as a mom. And when I say I never thought about it, I legit never thought about it.
I'm a witness. Yeah.
And that's why where I'm at now is kind of unbelievable, just because it just wasn't a thought. wasn't a vision. I don't think, Samira, correct me if I'm wrong, in college, I don't think I ever talked about being a mom.
I feel like you specifically said that you didn't want to be.
Well, yeah, I was like, oh, I'm good. Like, I don't have to have kids.
Either you said that or that was the vibe. But I think it was very clear that, okay, that's not really something that she wants. So,
and even marriage, like, I don't think
I could see the marriage part.
I knew, like, oh, if I met a person, I'd want to eventually get married to them. But you know how some people are like, oh, I thought about my wedding day, or I thought I would be married by X age. That just wasn't me. I don't know what I was thinking about back then, y'all. I don't know what I thought my life would be.
Yeah. I don't know what my younger self would not believe. I think the easy answer is the whole PhD thing, because that was never my goal, even when I started getting my master's degree, which I could have definitely seen myself getting a master's degree, right? But I never saw PhD. Even when I was starting my master's, I remember feeling like, oh yeah, this is about to be the last degree. this is it. We're not doing no more than this. But then, you know, the things that you're supposed to do kind of find you in life. And I think that's the beautiful thing. Like, you might think, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to pursue, and life experiences just come at you in a way that really show who you are as a person. Like, they reveal who you're meant to be. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, like, life happens in a way where you grow into who you're supposed to be. And I think that's what happened to me with this doctorate. Even like what I plan to do after is not necessarily as clear at this point, but I just knew that this was meant for me to do it as I went along the journey. And maybe that's a note for people out there. Like, if you feel like I don't have it all the way figured out, just follow the things that you are passionate about. And one of two things will happen. Either that passion will fizzle out for that thing, or as you're moving in that passion, your passion for it deepens and you start to see the full staircase. Like, if you take one step, the next step becomes available and you take that, and then so on and so forth. So yeah, maybe that's the thing that my younger self would not believe.
Yeah. Or even that we'd be on a podcast right now.
That would be on the podcast. Girl, even like as independent as I think I've grown to be, I don't know, sometimes I think about it, I'm like, I'm so impressed with myself. Not because I'm an arrogant or anything like that. Just again, life has a way of turning you into who you're supposed to be. And I think that is my story.
Yeah. So, I agree.
All right. Well, that is all that we have for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast to share your thoughts on this topic. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. And don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.